The word of the Lord.
Sophie, you're brilliant. Thank you so much. Well done. Yeah, give her a round. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you. Jess, come on up. We're going to pray for you. Before we pray for you, I'm going to ask you two questions. Mm-hmm. One I've warned you about, one I haven't, okay? Here's the one I haven't warned you about. What were you up to last weekend?
Last weekend? We were at Lightig. Yeah, leading your church into growth. So it was a conference about kind of how to get more people in the church, how to reach out to communities, and it was quite interesting, wasn't it? Don't you think?
It was absolutely fascinating, and I want to do something about it. It fired me up for Jesus again.
Did it?
And the second question, we completely floored John last week. We'll have a go with you, shall we? What has been really exciting in the last 48 hours?
Well, we had a social at Mount Laura's. Woo! Got home at midnight last night, so I'm feeling really good today. And then we had a social with our house group, so those are probably the two highlights.
There we go. Fantastic. Little windows into your life. Yes. Jess, let me pray for you.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Jess. We thank you for the service and the love she brings to the work amongst our young people. We ask that you would now fill her with your Holy Spirit. Speak through her to us. Take her words. Make them yours. And may we hear you and that still small voice calling us on to follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Jess, thank you.
Thanks. Great. So, as Richard said earlier, the layout is going to be a bit different. I'm not going to talk for long, which is probably good. And then we're going to do some stations. We've got some different things going on. I've left my Bible over there. That's not great. So at the beginning of this parable, thank you, we see God as the original landowner, and we see Israel as the vineyard, and we see the wicked tenants as the Pharisees and the leaders. That's upside down. As the leaders of the church. And as I was preparing for this, I realised that the Bible communicates things in quite an odd way sometimes. I think we've all been there with the questions. And one question I had was, if God wants us to read this, apply it, and understand it in our own lives, why does he appear to make it difficult sometimes? And so after a bit of digging, looking around in commentaries, asking different people, I found that the answer was in the context. So Jesus wasn't actually talking to everyday people like you and I, but rather leadership, the Pharisees and the chief priests, who would have had a different understanding of the text, and maybe a higher appreciation also, which is really interesting. And so they used the vineyard as imagery to kind of tackle this issue, the issue being the Israelite leaders not taking care of their people or taking care of the vineyard. And a story is less confrontational, I think, than a direct approach. Jesus is quite good at subtle confrontation, which is interesting. So what's the reason for this parable? Oh, well, there you go. I've just said it. The tenants are supposed to take care of the vineyard. They've been left in charge of it. And they weren't doing that, which is kind of rubbish. They didn't have good conditions for growth. And so the faith, people didn't know about Jesus. And weren't flourishing. So what kind of makes a good vineyard, I guess? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, if you want to go there, if you're really interested, Paul talks about living a life worthy of the calling, which is to just, and we might think, what is that calling? Later on in Matthew, I don't know if the thing is up there, no, it's not. A few chapters later, Jesus gives us the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he talks about loving your neighbours. The purpose being of this calling specifically is to love God and understand who we are in the view of him, and then that will fill us up and overflow into the way we love others. And the vineyard can be used as a kind of metaphor for our area. So our communities, our workplace, our homes even, our families, our friends, our school, our sixth form. And in some kind of way, we're all evangelists. I find that whenever I speak to people about evangelism, we all kind of crawl into a little shell and we hate the word evangelist. But actually, we are all evangelists, whether we're loud or quiet. At Ridley Hall, where I'm studying, we have a guy called Adrian. He's really tall, he's American, and the complete opposite of me, he's really loud. That was a really big breath. And He actually invited us to take part in an activity. We had two choices. We could either go out into the streets of Cambridge and evangelise, or we could stay at Ridley and think about why we weren't evangelising and self-reflect on that. And I went out because I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I evangelised really, really badly. And then I came back halfway through and thought, I'm just going to reflect on this because, you know, it didn't quite work very well. So we can all be evangelists wherever we are, regardless of whether we're introverted, extroverted, loud or quiet. And it's really important that we kind of talk to people in our area about Jesus, not necessarily through our words, but sometimes through our actions. 93% of our communication is through body language, which I thought was quite interesting. So you only have to talk to people 7% of the time, which I'm quite happy with. In Romans 10, verse 14 to 15, Paul says, I'm going to read it out, "But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Which is quite interesting in our own context, I think. And at the beginning of the parable, if you're a keen bean, you would have realised that God put a fence around the vineyard and he put a watchtower in place, which is really interesting. It shows that it was important enough to God to be protected. And a question I kind of want to leave lingering is, if it's important to God, why is it not as important to us? And because of that, we can learn from the mistakes of the Pharisees, because they had many, obviously. If we claim to follow Jesus, we need to invest in our vineyard for the long term. Did you know it takes 8 years to make a vineyard grow? Are you willing to pray, invest, and love other people for 7 years before you see any fruit? Something worthwhile. So I've finished a lot quicker than I thought I would be. So we're just going to go straight into the stations. I'll explain them a little bit. So over there, we've got some pictures of grapes, and what the purpose of that is to get you to practically think about who can I invest in, what community am I investing in, and just write the names of people in the grapes, around the grapes, pray about it and how you're going to reach out to them. At the back corner over there, we've got a sort of self-reflective station. So if you were like me and thought, oh, I evangelized really badly, why was I doing that? You can go to the back and just kind of think, how can I evangelize better? What does evangelism look like for me? I know one of our other youth worker friends gives people VIP bracelets, and he gets more questions about VIP bracelets than he does the "What would Jesus do?" bracelets, which is quite interesting. It kind of starts a conversation for you. So just mind map, draw, think about, you know, how can I evangelize? And if I can't evangelize, why is that? And I would encourage you to go deeper. And then over there, if you're more of a reader, we've got some poetry, we've got some Bible verses just to kind of think about, reflect on, annotate them, draw on them, whatever you want to do. And then at the front, you can bring some more chairs around. There are some actual grapes over there. And on the topic of investing in our vineyards, sometimes that requires us to invest in specific people. So what I'd like you to do is kind of take a grape and pray, think of a person and pray specifically for that person, and just really pray for them and their journey and go from there. And if you don't want to participate in any of those, that's absolutely fine. I'm not going to be offended. If you're not a Christian or you just want to sit in the middle, that's absolutely fine. So I challenge you to dig deep, ask big questions, dream big, and there's going to be some music playing. So, yeah, off you go. Huh? Before. Okay, so, yeah, scatter and I'll just talk. There's the grapes at the back for your community, self-reflection, written stuff, and investing in one specific person. Cool?